Hello and welcome to another episode of SayPod. I am your host Stephanie Timmy and I am so excited about our topic today. So it's going to be very different from our previous episode, which looked more about how do you keep yourself safe during a protest. But this is going to be more corporate and it's going to focus more on operational resilience, which I believe is a hot topic, but also one that businesses should really look out for. And I'm excited because we're joined by Pranathi Praveen, and she's going to tell us about operational resilience and about just what she does on a day-to-day basis and ways that businesses can actually look at this new trending topic as well. So I'm going to start with our first question. Can you please tell us about yourselves, Pranathi?
Yeah, sure, Steph. Thanks for having me. Well, I'm Pranathi Praveen. I work within the financial services consulting practice at EY. I've been at EY for around 5.5 years now, focusing on cybersecurity, IT risk transformation, and operational resilience. But along with helping our clients solve their biggest cyber and technology risk-related problems, I'm also heavily involved in our diversity and inclusion agenda. Mm-hmm. So I'm really passionate about empowering the next generation of female leaders in tech. So I'm super excited to be here with you today.
Thank you, and we're so happy to have you on. So I'm going to start because your role just sounds so interesting. Can you please tell us, you know, an example of your day-to-day and what an average day like is for you, if that makes sense?
Yeah, well, what I love about my job and generally working in consulting is that there is no average day. So how I try to describe what I do to my friends and family is that there's sort of two halves to my job. Mm-hmm. One is my client projects and the other half is something that we call side of desk. And I'll try and bring both of these to life. So currently in terms of client projects, I'm working with an organization where we've helped to define the end-to-end operational resilience methodology and are now piloting it across one of their important business services. I'm also working on another project where I'm providing recommendations to a client on their operational resilience program based on our experience, industry standards, and regulatory expectations. So a big proportion of my day is taken up by producing client deliverables, coaching my team, and holding calls with my client as we work in this virtual world. The other half of my job that I refer to is all the internal and also sometimes external activities that I do for training, diversity and inclusion, corporate sustainability, and business development. Mm-hmm. So some of my day could include calls to run EY Giving Day, an annual corporate sustainability day that I help run for the firm. Mm-hmm. It could also include speaking at a diversity and inclusion event, a recruitment event, facilitating at an upskilling workshop for young women, writing thought leadership about hot topics in the industry, or working on business development proposals and pursuits to win new work. I'm also involved in running internal training on technical topics, soft skills, or also running training on core consulting skills for our new consultants. So as I said, there's no average day, but hopefully this gives you a little insight into what some of my days look like.
I think it's definitely an interesting day today. Definitely more interesting than mine. I'm really interested in just the topic of operational resilience. And I know you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but in your own words, how would you define operational resilience?
Yeah, sure. Well, let me start with the regulatory definition. So the UK regulatory definition of operational resilience is the ability of firms and the financial sector as a whole to prevent, adapt, respond to, recover, and learn from operational disruptions. So what this means is financial institutions should work to prepare for and prevent disruptions, incidents, or bad things from happening. But when things go wrong, and they do, financial institutions should be able to be dynamic and adapt to allow them to continue providing their end-to-end important business services to their clients and customers. Operational resilience frameworks and programs are needed to navigate an increasingly uncertain world. So whether that means a global pandemic, sophisticated cyber attacks, or IT disruptions, how do organizations not just prepare, but succeed when faced with the unexpected, and so remain resilient? And operational resilience can also be used to describe the umbrella across a lot of the different things that organizations do to try and achieve the outcome of resilience. So things like business continuity, crisis management, third-party risk management, cybersecurity, etc. So you don't do operational resilience, you do lots of other things to achieve it.
Thank you. And I know you've kind of given us a very good definition of operational resilience. But just to bring it in, I guess, into more practical terms, why do you think operational resilience is important now?
Well, that's a good question, Steph. Operational resilience is more important now than ever for a range of different reasons. So that's including cyber and the rise of cyber attacks, the complexity and interconnectedness of the financial ecosystem, and the accelerated pace to digitalization that we've seen over the past few years. And also, most publicly, because of the number of high-profile IT problems or outages that have resulted in large regulatory fines for lots of institutions. So at the end of 2019, the PRA, the FCA, and the Bank of England published a consultation paper on ways to improve the operational resilience of firms and the financial market infrastructure. But it's not just the UK regulators that are focused on this topic. Regulatory guidance and principles have been published globally over the past few months. And arguably now, it's as important to financial services industry as financial resilience.
Thank you. You know, that was definitely very insightful for us to just really understand why operational resilience is important. And I guess even from just hearing you speak, I can sense the passion. So I think this leads me on to my next question, and that's, why are you so passionate about operational resilience?
Well, that is a good question. For me, what drew me to operational resilience was the fact that you are working to minimize the impact of disruption on the end user or customer of that business service. And often the end user is, you know, the general public, the everyday person. I think it's really looking at how you can build a better working world, and that gives me a real sense of purpose. And resilience is also new, right? And that's pretty exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Business continuity and disaster recovery have been around for a few years, but operational resilience as a concept looks at everything with a new lens, with a business service lens. Mm-hmm. And also the new regulatory papers have also introduced new concepts such as impact tolerance and intolerable harm. Being in the space, the opportunities are endless. There's just so much to learn, and the principles are also evolving, which I find very interesting. And that's why I'm passionate about being in operational resilience right now.
Thank you. And I think, you know, with what you said, it really does look at everything, which is quite interesting. And I know you talked about your clients. So I'm curious to ask, you know, what are the most common challenges you see with your clients?
Yeah, well, there's quite a few challenges, but I'll give you three challenges that we see at our clients. Number one is, you know, what I've spoken about before, the new regulatory expectations that are slightly technical and sometimes quite difficult to interpret. Where our clients find value is from our practical experience gained helping other clients and our ability to interpret these principles and apply them to lots of different organizations and their own organization. And number two, one of the challenges is getting the right buy-in. Mm-hmm. Some clients have struggled to engage their senior stakeholders and ensure there is the right level of buy-in for operational resilience at the board level from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then also number three, often at our clients, there are fragmented sources of risk and resilience information that are all manually maintained. This means that organizations find it difficult to view data related to business services or capabilities in a real-time, meaningful manner to help them achieve the outcome of resilience and help them bring different views to their senior stakeholders. So these are some of the most common challenges we see at our clients.
Thank you for that. That's definitely insightful. And just bringing it back a bit, because I know you gave us an amazing kind of snapshot at your day-to-day. I'm sure that some of our listeners might be listening to this and thinking, you know, operational resilience is something that I want to get into. So how does someone get a job in operational resilience? And I think Actually, I'll ask that question first, and then I'll wait to kind of see, you know, what else I can pull for our members.
Yeah. Well, hopefully our listeners right now want to find out more about resilience. The beauty of the topic is that it requires breadth and depth of skills from across EY. You need to be able to understand the business, understand risk, translate regulatory requirements, help clients manage complex questions, and support them with experience. This isn't to scare anybody who's listening and interested, though. I would encourage anybody interested in the topic to just reach out to me. As long as you can show you are passionate about the topic, are motivated, and can demonstrate you're able to interpret the regulatory guidance, I think that will get you a long way. You know, the concepts can be complicated, concepts such as impact tolerance, drivers for harm, and intolerable harm that I've mentioned before, and the need to be able to apply it to complicated organizations in the financial sector. So I would just encourage those interested to read the guidance that's out there, attend webinars, and build your knowledge in this evolving space, and ask questions. Yeah, there are some certifications that you may want to look into, so such as ISO 22301 certification, CBCI, which is Certificate of Business Continuity Institute, CPCP, Certified Business Continuity Professional, and there's just a lot more. But more broadly, experience in third-party risk management, operational risk, cyber, change management, and digital are all relevant. But I really wouldn't say there is any qualification that is absolutely necessary to get a job in operational resilience at EY.
Thank you. No, that was very insightful, especially with you, you know, listing the certifications. I'm hoping our listeners can, you know, scroll back just to listen to what she said, because that was very helpful. And it kind of leads me to my next question, which is, do you have any interesting stories or case studies of actually working in the space of operational resilience?
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked on a lot of interesting projects in the past few years and have been lucky to work with clients across the financial services sector, helping them to interpret regulatory guidance and build an operational resilience program in a pragmatic, practical, and proportionate way. I think the coolest project is probably the one with an FMI. These are financial market infrastructures, for those of you who don't know, and are critically important institutions that are responsible for providing clearing, settlement, and recording of financial transactions. So the financial markets rely on the continuity of the services FMIs provide, and well-functioning FMIs improve the stability of the markets and the wider financial system, and subsequently the UK economy. So we were helping our client define their operational resilience program and methodology to help them improve their overall resilience, which in turn has an impact on the financial system and the UK economy. Quite interesting, right?
Yeah, it is. I think definitely interesting what you said about the methodology as well. So I just want to ask a question before you leave. And I guess my final question is, are there any key takeaways that, you know, you think our listeners should think about?
Yeah, well, operational resilience is not a compliance tick box exercise. Mm-hmm. As a major takeaway, operational resilience failures could pose a huge risk to the supply of important services on which the real economy depends on. Mm-hmm. This can also threaten the ongoing viability of firms and cause intolerable harm to consumers and the market participants. So from a client's perspective, it's really important to act now. And if you're interested in the topic, why not get involved now? It's a growing field, an evolving field, so I would encourage our listeners right now to reach out if you would like to learn more, or if you would like to get involved. I'm more than happy to chat. Once you have read up about the principles, try and infuse them into what you do day to day, whether you work in cyber, third-party risk management, change management, or in industry. Don't be afraid that some of it is new. This just means there's just so much opportunity out there and the possibilities are endless. And also, I think it's only apt I mentioned resilience isn't just about working for me. Being resilient means being able to adapt and bounce back when something difficult happens. In life, it is the ability to once again pick ourselves up after a difficult or painful experience, such as global pandemics and lockdowns that most of us are living through right now.
Yeah.
So if there is one thing that I'd like to leave our listeners on, it's the importance of fostering wellness and embracing change and seeking help if you need it. There's a Maya Angelou quote that I like a lot, which is, I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it. And that's the whole essence of resilience, personally or in business.
Thank you, and I love that quote that you gave of Maya Angelou. Thank you again so much for coming on our platform. And for those who are listening who wants to kind of get in touch, I would include her LinkedIn link in this podcast. But thank you so much for coming. It's been a pleasure to have you, Pranathi. I've definitely learned a lot about operational resilience. And again, if you would like to connect with Sadia, you can reach out to us on our social media platforms, which is SEIDEASI. And you can also connect with us on our website, which is sadia.org. So really excited about this podcast and can't wait to speak and share more gems with you guys again.